This is an interview with Mrs. Mary Johnson on August 18, 1992 at the Kyler Center. And the interviewer is Barbara Hendry. And this is side one of tape number CB/016BH. Okay, we'll go way back to when you were a young child and your favorite teacher, Miss Quinney, right, was moving to be principal of Florence Street School, one of your favorite teachers.
Yes, that was out at the Waterworks, and she was principal and teacher out at the Waterworks, and when Florence Street School was about to open, that's when she gave notice that she would be transferred to Florence Street School too. So, well, I put in my application real quick when I heard that, you know. And so she said she thinks she could arrange it. And so I believe it was quite a few of us left during that time, you know. And we came over to Florence Street School when it first opened. And she was the principal, but she kept her eye on the ones that came over there with her to see that everything went on nicely for them, you know. So she was living right here on 37th Street. And everybody just loved her. She was a very sweet person.
Did you ever have her for a teacher?
Yes. She before she came to Florence out of Springfield Terrace, she was a sixth grade teacher, and I was in her class in sixth grade, and she was teacher and also principal at that time. Well, no more than she was someone that, in being in her class when she taught, she was a person that made things so interesting until it was very easy for you to learn. And that's what I liked about her, too. And I was sorry when she gave up the teaching job, because she really was a big help to us.
So she made me more interested in school?
Yes, in school, when she's explaining things concerning our lesson, you know, she made it so interesting to... You just enjoy learning.
So you and some other people from the Waterworks School, was it, came over to Florence?
Yes.
Did
mm-hmm.
you tell me that was a long walk for you? You had to walk.
Yes. It was over a mile, I believe. It was quite a distance.
And you get together with these other people and walk to the school together?
Yes.
Now, what grade were you in then when you moved to Florence?
I was in fifth grade. Okay. Well, she must have taught fifth and sixth, I think.
Yeah, you had mm-hmm.
I think she taught fifth and sixth.
Didn't mind you moving to Florence.
Yes, well, it wasn't anyone then but my mother, because my father died when I was two. and my brother, he always act as a father too, to see that everything go as it should with us, because it was four of us girls in the house.
And would you repeat where you were living then, before you moved here?
Oh, that was called Springfield Terrace. On one side of Gwinnett was Springfield Terrace, and on the other side was called the Waterworks, because that's where they had the plant that, you know, supplied the water for us.
And what was the name of your school out there?
Springfield Terrace.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You left behind.
Yes.
So.
I left a lot of classmates who came from the beginning. Well, I moved up pretty fast in school for a while because my sisters used to go to a little wooden church before they built Florence Street School. And sometime my mother had to go uptown, and she was in a hurry and she couldn't take me, so she would leave me to this school. Well, this man taught all of the classes in that little wood structure building, you know. And his name was Mr. Brown. So then after I was there, I learned a few things, you know, just about staying in there with my sister until my mother got home from town, you know. So anyway, then after they built Florence Street School, I went there in first grade. But I was so far advanced until they took me out of first and put me in second.
That was at Florence Street or Springfield?
In Springfield Terrace School.
So your sisters, when they were in school, they didn't have a public school building to go to.
No.
They had to use this church.
A wooden church building, one small building.
But when you got to first grade, because you'd hung out in the school, they had to pass you on to second grade.
Yes, and my mother was a big help too, you know. She helped school me before I was school age, so there were lots of things she taught me too. So they passed me to second grade, and from second I went to third. And in third grade, I took fever, and I was out of school for some time. And at least they thought that they were going to lose me. I was just that sick with this fever. And when I went back to school, when I got able to go back to school, I had to start back in the third grade.
But then you were with the other people your age, really.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it was in fifth grade in Miss Quinn's room when I left Springfield Terrace School and went to Florence Street School. And I don't know, it was something about this teacher, Miss Holbrooks, that Miss Quinney thought would be a good class for me to start in, because they had about two or three teachers teaching the same grade, you know. And she thought Mrs. Holbrook would have been nice for me. And she was. So I stayed with her and went from there to the sixth grade. And after I left there, then I had to go to Collin, and still walking back and forth to school. So I stayed in Collin, and I got married before I completed the 12th grade. And after that marriage didn't last about a year and a half or so. And at that time, I had a young baby then. So my sister husband passed. I had been living with her out to the waterworks town before I got married. And my sister's husband passed, and she moved where we are now on Lavinia Street. And when my husband and I separated, then my brother told me to go and live with my sister. So I still live with her. And then soon my mother came in, and the whole family was there. And when my son got of age to go to school, I married again and went out in West Savannah and sent him to school out there. And after that marriage didn't last but about 3 years. And I came back on Lavinia Street. And still there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, you were only at Florence Street yourself for about 1 year, the fifth grade?
Two times.
Were you involved in any school activities there, clubs, or anything?
Well, we used to have I think you called it May Day during that time. They had May Festival every year. And I'd have on my little crepe paper dress and a little hat that we made on the side, and we did all kind of little our class, you know, and some more. We did plait the maypole and different things like that, you know. So, but that's all that I can recall I did at Florence Street School, because that wasn't very long I was there anyway. And then it was over to Kyle on Anderson Street.
Yeah, do you have any special memories of the Kyle School? Any special teachers or events or things that...
Yes, we had a teacher, Mr. John Law, and Mr. Law was a wonderful teacher. So one year when I was about to leave Mr. Law's class, a friend of our family daughter came to live with us. But she was in a lower class than I was. She was in the same grade, but she was in about in in B, I think you called it then. And I was in A. So I asked the teacher to please transfer me to B so I could be in the class with her. And they thought it was awful that I leave a high division, go to a lower division, you know. And they didn't think much of it, but after I was just determined that's where I wanted to be, they let me go. So, anyway, that's what happened at Collin.
Were you involved in any school clubs or other activities at Collin?
No, not at Collin. Mm-mm.
Just study hard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then, now you said your son, and you moved back to the Beavis Street when he was in, what, second or third grade or so?
No, he was... He was something like that. But, he used to go to kindergarten before then, when he was about 3 years old. Reverend Scott had some church, and he had a kindergarten for the kids, you know, in the neighborhood.
Was that here or out there?
Here.
Uh-huh.
And so... he went to kindergarten here, but his first time in grade school was at Florence Street School. So this, my niece, my sister had a daughter, and she was about a year older than my son, or 2 years. And they both were going over to Florence Street School. And when the first bell rang, then they could leave and go to school and get there before the second bell rang, because you was tardy if you got there on the second bell. So I can just remember seeing them running across the school ground trying to get there. Oh, that second bell rang, you know. So they enjoyed it, and they completed their schooling at Florence, and they went to college. But then my sister took her daughter out of that school just before she graduated from college, and they went to Buffalo, New York. So Clyde finished college, and he went to Atlantic City and worked that summer. And when he came back, he didn't like the school his daddy was going to send him to. So he wanted to go to Buffalo where my sister was. So he was just determined that he wanted to go. So I let him go there, and he stayed there a good bit of years and worked, and said he was going to school the next year, but after staying out of school a whole year, I felt like that money was going to change that, you know, so then he stayed in Buffalo and worked right on for a while and left Buffalo and went to Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And that's where he is now, working in Centenary Hospital there. And I imagine he'll be there until he retires now.
Because how old is your son now? He's
56.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's an old man.
He's still your boy.
When when I say something to her, like, oh, well, Clyde, you know I'm getting old and I can't remember things like I used to. He said, well, Mother, what do you think about me? I'm old, too. Anyway, I've been working, like I mentioned before, I worked out at Gunners, and I did a little work in private homes where with the folks where my sister had worked, what we knew good, you know. And they all thought that I was so small, they would help me work anyway, so I didn't work too hard doing that. So then, after I went out in West Savannah, after I got married and went out there, then my husband started me in cosmetology. So I stayed in that a few years, but they were working me too hard, and I started getting sick, and he had me to quit it, you know. But I just got tired of staying home all the time, and a friend of mine was working out at Pierpoint Box Factory, so I asked her, did she think she could get me a job out there? She said, well, she was going to try. And so she told me to come out there one day for a visit, you know. And I went out there, and after this man asked me what I was doing, the boss, what I was doing after I left there, I mean before I came out there for a job, I told him I was in the hairdressing profession. So he said, well, I know you wouldn't want to do this type of work then. So I said, oh, yes, I think it's nice, you know. And so anyway, he hired me. And I stayed there for 30-some years, about 35 or 36 years.
Raising Clyde, did you have time to be involved at all in the PTA or anything like that?
Oh, yes, I would go to those. Mm-hmm. And then after he left Kyla and went to Alfred E. Beach High School, he used to be in things there. He would create dances and so forth, and he and some of the girls would be on program there, and I would go to those dances, and I attended his PTAs too.
Right through high school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I talked to some
from Florence Street School Elementary, straight through. Because most of my work was daytime, so I didn't have nothing much at that time where he was in school, no night work, so I could get to them okay.
I've had some other people tell me that at Florence Street, the parents were very active in helping the school. They helped raise money and things like that. Remember any of the activities of the PTA when your son was going there?
No, I can't think of any now because, as I said, I was busy working,
right,
you
so
know.
You would just go to the
And sometime I was doing three shifts, and that put me to work at various times, then I couldn't. You know, take a part in all those things.
Now, you did mention that your mother helped the school by cleaning some of the grounds, is that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. She's always been what we call an outdoor person, you know. She had a yard full of flowers, you know, and when we walk out, she said, "Be careful, don't step on the flowers," because she loved her flowers. And she kept all in the yard and all around the yard clean. And she would go across on the edge of the school ground where the fence is, and she'd clean up on this side of the fence, so at the outside. So she said, when we asked her, "Well, why you want to clean up over there to the school?" So she said, "Well, I don't want these children to be getting stickers when they're going in school. And so I like to see it clean." And she would clean it up sometimes. Men would be passing and see her cutting grass down over there on the edge of the school. And they would give her money.
You know? But she was just doing it.
Yeah, for exercise. She just loved to do that. So she said, "Well, say if you can't ride a horse, ride a whore." So she said she was going to cut grass as long as she could. I wanted to go to Buffalo before my sister went. We knew some people there. But I didn't get to go because my mother wanted to stay here because I was the only one living with her then. And she said, me and my son, she said, Mary said, "I don't want to go to Buffalo. Say, I'd rather stay here. Because all my life I've been able to work around in the yards, you know, and plant flowers and what have you." She had fruit trees and all of those things ever since I can remember in the yard, you know, like plums and peaches and
so
all those and grapes and all. Yeah, she did all of that, made wine too. Made wine with the grapes, and we had a cherry tree, and she made wine with the cherry, you know,
this
out
was
of the cherries.
Mamie Street?
Sure, both places, out at Waterworks and also on Lavinia Street. Everywhere she went, she had her flowers and her fruit trees. And some type of vegetable. She was going to find some space for vegetables. So when she would plant her butter beans, she would take a string when it started running and string them up on the fence. And we had plenty of butter beans growing in the backyard right around the edge of the fence. So,
what was your mother's name?
Her name was Ella Mae Johnson, and she was from Tuskegee, Alabama.
She sounds like a very active person.
Yes, I think Mr. W.W. Law, I think he has her picture in one of her diplomas.
From Tuskegee?
From Tuskegee, and Tisdale?
Mm-hmm. King
Tisdale. Where he has his place open. You've been there, haven't you? Well, okay. I think he has her picture and certificate there.
Have you been over to see
it? Not since he had it there. I'd like to go and have a look at it sometime soon, I hope.
Maybe when your son is here, I'd like to go back over and myself because I went along, you know, before I started this research. Now when I would go back, I could appreciate, like, seeing this, I would know the daughter of this woman if I saw the picture and the diploma.
Yeah.
To see that.
Yeah, so.
Maybe we could go over there someday.
So, as I told you before, when the union came in, we first started off at my plant, Pierpont Box Factory, where I was working. We was first in mine, mill, and smelter workers. And that union, they united with the United Steelworkers of America. So I was on the committees there, and we have convention various places, and I got a chance to do a whole lot of traveling because I don't know, for some reason the workers thought I brought back a good report from the conventions, you know. So I enjoyed it while I was able to work. But then I had this injury around 1977. So I had to put it all down. You know, my job as financial secretary, they always had someone that was working on the job to take over those books, because they didn't have to pay them as much as they would if they had a full-time secretary. So that made a difference.
Yeah, you had a good career there with both the union and in that factory, but you said at one point you wanted to go to Buffalo. What made you think you'd
want to
move up there?
Well, I don't know. I just felt like I needed to make a change after my marriage didn't work out. And I thought, you know, that it would be better for me to make a change. But since my mother felt like it wouldn't be good for her because she couldn't be out in the yard like she would say, sometimes you'd be up so many stories high and you just couldn't be out in the soil, you know. And so she said she didn't think that she would live long if she went there.
And that was before you got the job at Pierpont, too.
Yes.
So your mother influenced you to go ahead and stay. Now, did you tell me that your mother had worked also outside the home?
Yes, she worked to a bag factory for a while, for quite some time. But after my sisters started getting up a size, and the boys started looking at them real hard, my brother thought she should be home with the children. So he told her she should stay home and do the things that she can do, you know, to help out. So she used to take in washing and ironing for various. Sometimes it'd be a man, he didn't have no wife, you know. And then she used to make clothes for people, dresses, and men's shirts. They had a shirt called pongee shirt, and she used to make those shirts and smock each side of it, you know. Yes, and so just at the top part of the shirt she did that. And sometimes she pressed suits, and so she was a busy person right on after she stopped. And so that helped send us to school too, you know. And my sisters was old enough then, they had little jobs working with different folks around in the neighborhood. We had some white folks living next street from us, and they used to work around there.
Because your mom was pretty after your dad passed, your mom had to support the family, I guess.
No, my brother quit school to
so
support the family.
He was your older brother who became
yeah,
the boss.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, when you all were in the move to Lavinia Street and you were living in that neighborhood, do you remember that part of town having a name, like a name to the neighborhood?
Well, at that time, they didn't call it, but just through conversation, I've heard folks say that they called it Brownville. But after, I think the EOA opened up where College Street School used to be, I believe that's why they named it, because of the boundaries, named it College Community. And Brownsville was across Victor Drive, and we was from Anderson, not across Victor Drive, across 37. And we was from Anderson to 37th, but not on 37th. And from Westboro, which is Martin Luther King Boulevard now, from Westboro to Colock, which is down on the border of the cemetery.
Yeah, over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when did that happen? When did you start, making that the boundary of a Kylo community?
Since we started at the center here.
Okay.
And so we had a contract or something. We had to have a name for it, and we named it Kylo Community Improvement Center. And EOA, used to help us out quite a bit too, and they was the one occupying College Street School now, so they thought it was nice to name it College, see?
So that's how.
So,
was there any argument about the name, do you remember?
No, I don't remember hearing anything different, because Brownsville, they had their portion from 37th to Victory Drive. So we didn't have anything come about concerning it.
So that was a different community association from 37th to Victory.
Yes.
Now, before all that happened years ago, and say when you moved there in 37 and lived there, in the 40s and 50s, if you had been in downtown Savannah shopping, or not, if you had been out of the area somewhere, and someone said, well, what part of town do you live in? What do you think you would have said to them? If someone wanted to know, where you lived in Savannah, back before this time.
Well, before Kyla? Oh, I'll just say I live south. That's all I would know.
Mm-hmm.
That I live south.
I've had some other people. See, this is where it gets confusing, because some people tell me, like you, that at one time you thought Lavinia Street was part of Brownsville or Brownville.
Yes, this section. This section was part of Brownsville.
Other people have told me that they thought it was part of Currytown, a place called Currytown.
Currytown seemed to me as if that was in that was in some part of the Uptown station. Seemed to me that's where Currytown was. I'm not positive, but I think it was.
So Granville back then was this area from Anderson down to Victory?
I don't know where it started from at that time. But I know I've heard them say that Brownsville was in here. But I don't know what street it started from and where it ended.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything about this part of town that you felt, this is back in earlier years when you lived here, that you thought made it different from other parts of Savannah? Anything
about this area that made it special or unique or, you know, gave it a certain reputation? Well, I don't know. During that time, things wasn't like it is now. And this was a nice community here because, as I've said, there were a lot of elderly people living here, and there was a person that thought a lot of their neighborhoods, you know, and it was just a nice place to live, and I don't know what else to say about it, but, well, we had quite a few nightclubs around in almost every corner during that time. We had, I think that was a nightclub on Henry, which is the next street over from Anderson and Westboro, and across the street from... It was another nightclub. We had a nightclub called Young's Inn. And, well, yes, and different blocks. And we had a club on 31st, which is the next street from Anderson, between 31st and 32nd on Westboro. Which, as I've told you, is MLK Jr. Boulevard now. So, anyway, this was before that time, but we had a club right here on, before they put that interstate out there, we had a club right there on 36th and Ogeechee Road. And we had a club on 37th and Ogeechee Road, which was called Bernie's. Well, it was clubs just scattered all over.
Now, the one on 36th and Ogeechee, was it called the 4S? 4S
Club? 36th and Ogeechee. I forgot, I believe at first it was Bernie's nightclub. And but Bernie soon, when he married, he moved on 37th, and it was a building that used to be a grocery store. He turned that into a nightclub on 37th and Ogeechee Road.
So there were a lot of places that people went to have a good time.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to keep you too long, but I was going to ask you about other businesses that you might remember within these neighborhoods, other kinds of shops or businesses that you went to and used.
Well, on the Ogeechee Road, we had a grocery store between 35th and Klein. And one across the street from it. And my son, before he started working to his father's cafe uptown, he was working, he had worked to both of those grocery stores because after one of them went out of business, then he went to the other one to work.
I think he told me he was pretty young when he was out helping at the grocery store.
Yes, he was.
How old was he?
Oh, I guess it was around about 10 or 11, I guess, something close around there. Because he soon went to a restaurant. He used to go up there and help out anyway, so he just went up there and worked.
Do you have energy to do a few more minutes of this?
Well, we almost got almost 12 now.
Go way back again to something you said earlier. When you were very young, you had this bad fever. And I was going to ask you what kind of health care was available when you were sick that time. Do you remember?
Well, we had a family doctor. His name was Dr. Brown. Bryant. His name was Dr. Bryant, I think it was. And he used to, you know, at that time they would come to your home, you know. So he came to me. And I continued to be sick, so my mother was mentioned calling him back again, you know, because I was telling her about a lot of our neighbors and friends that had passed on that I had seen, you know. And so she started crying and said she was going to call the doctor back. And my sister told her, no, it's no need. She's not going to make it, you know. So it was some friend of the family. She was a settled lady that's good for telling you what to do for different sickness, you know. And so I asked my mother, would she ask her to come over and see me because she was my friend, you know. So she came over to see me and she even prayed for me, you know. And I began to gradually get better.
So this woman was known as a healer in the community, this friend.
Well, she wasn't known as a healer. She was just a Christian person, you know, and believed in prayer. Yeah.
I guess the doctors were, even in those times, it was expensive, so people didn't call on every little thing.
No. Then you didn't have many doctors. We didn't have many doctors, you know, during that time. And they had so many people to see.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you ever have need of the charity hospital? Did you ever use it?
I went to the charity hospital one time. I had a nosebleed one time, and my mother couldn't get it stopped. So I went to the charity hospital then, but I didn't even stay all night. That was the only time that I had been there. Mm-hmm.
Because it was very close to where you lived.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it was good for the local community because they didn't have to worry about transportation getting to it, you know, and during that time, the blacks didn't have many hospitals anyway. And so that one was the closest one and most convenient for the people during that time.
So you knew of your neighbors and friends who would go there?
Knew the nurses that worked in the hospital. And all,
many
you know.
Of them lived there, right?
Yes.
I know the community was probably very sorry when it finally had to close down.
Yes and no. Well.
Well, I know I've kept you longer than you probably wanted to be here, so unless you can think of anything else that you'd like to say about these neighborhoods, your thoughts about them.
Well, I don't know of anything else that I want to say today concerning it, no more than since the older people have left out of, some of them left here, and some of them have passed on, you know. Seem as if the younger people never tried to keep the property up now, you know. And the neighborhood is gradually going down. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And now there's quite a few renters in there. Is that one of the changes?
Well, most of them, someone in the family lives in the home that the folks once owned, you know. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them, they just had to board up or tear down, you know.
Leave you